See, they already look foreign to me. Who is this coming out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? We've looked at the beloved. Hopefully you've thought even more about it than the little bit that from Saturday morning, whenever that was. We have all those scriptures on there that remind us of his love for us. And that's the foundation. That's where we start. Then, even though you don't feel his love, you can stand on that word. That's, again, that's just not going anywhere. That's a truth regardless. We've all experienced the wilderness, and we've had plenty of examples in today's time frame even, and we have past examples. And so this morning I want to look at leaning and sort of just look at a few little things I think the Lord has shown me about leaning. And I thought I'd start with what leaning is not. Leaning is not the wounded warrior being carried off the battlefield by another wounded warrior. That's not leaning. That's not leaning on her beloved. We're not going to come out of a wilderness experience smoking. You know, that's not the right picture for what leaning on her beloved is, what the Lord wants for us. Leaning is not doubting whether the Lord, and the James 1:6 says, "For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." We're not leaning if we're doubting and we're being thrown by the waves. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean not on your own understanding." That's not the leaning that the Lord wants for us. And we've all come to realize how little we are capable of understanding anyway of what the Lord's doing. We can't trust what we think. We need to also choose very carefully whom we lean on. Isaiah 36:6, "Behold, you rely on a staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it." You know, we got it.
What was the reference?
Isaiah 36:6. We need to lean on a solid person in this case. But, you know, you're not going to lean against a plant that's standing in a, you know, you're going to lean on a tree. You're going to, you know, if you're just trying to actually support your weight, you're going to look for something solid. Hence the reason we started with the beloved. I needed you to know just how solid the beloved is. So what leaning is? Strong defines leaning as support oneself, to lean, rely, rest, stay, or recline. And I really liked reclining. I thought of John the Apostle on Jesus' breast. That's leaning. You know, that's we rely on the Lord. So many scriptures that go to relying on the Lord. Of course, I went to Psalm 23, resting by still waters. That's leaning. Walking, not running, through the valley of the shadow of death. That's leaning as we take the steps. We have faith so we can lean. We trust the chair to hold us up. We trust the Lord to hold us up. And that's the kind of leaning that I want to picture with me today. What does leaning look like? The first person that comes to mind that I go to often and use her words is Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she's told she's going to carry the Christ child. She says, "Behold," this is Luke 1:38, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." That's leaning. That is total trust. You know, she had to have had some anxious moments about what would her parents say, what would Joseph say, what would the others say. I mean, there had to be, and depending on her age, if she's as young as it sounds like she might have been, that had to be, that's a big unknown for some young girl. You know, in our day anyway, 13, 14 is pretty young. But may it be done to me according to thy word. Okay, we'll go forward with this. That's leaning. Jacob wrestled.
Bless you.
There's going to be a few of those. Sorry. No, oh, good. Jacob had what I consider the whole time he ran from Esau after having stolen the birthright. He acquired the two wives, the 12 children. He was still conniving and still wheeling and dealing. And he's heading back and he's about to meet Esau and he's scared. And the Lord meets him and they wrestle. And it's when Joseph asked for the blessing that he realized, I'm not going to be able to do, and he was prevailing. I mean, he was holding his own with this angel of the Lord. But he knew he couldn't do it without the blessing from the Lord. That was his lean. And in his case, he literally, as well as figuratively, leaned the rest of his life with the damaged hip. You know, but Hebrews 11:21 describes Jacob as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. You know, what a peaceful picture of leaning. That's what we want with our Lord. Paul, in a more modern or newer example in the New Testament, his whole life was a series of trials and leanings and learning. But, you know, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And, of course, that was after he had asked for the thorn to be taken away. But it was, the weaker I am, the more Christ is going to be seen. We are human. We are stuck with these emotions that we have, but they don't have to control us. The Lord can control, that we can rely on the Lord as our control and then still have the emotions. I remember one very early in our marriage, I was coming home late at night from work and the road had thawed and then frozen again. We were living in New Hampshire. It's 2 a.m, and I'm going down the last mile to our little rental cottage, and my car did a 360 on the road, jamming, and I was trying to get into the snowbank. I thought, I will have traction if I can get on the snow and off the ice. But I did a 360 and jammed the car perpendicular, and I'm in my seatbelt. The car is just doing this. I mean, there was no sense of harm. I should also mention I was 8.5 months pregnant. So, you know, there's all that going through my mind. And I knew, logically, I was totally safe. But I was panicked. I was scared. I mean, this car was doing something, and I didn't know what I was going to do when I got done. So I got out of the car and I thought, I don't care about the car, I'm walking home. I know I can walk. You know, I'm safe on the ground. When I told Lex that, I was scared. I shouldn't have been scared. And he said, we're not emotionless. And I still had that. I was fine and I knew it. You know, so you get both. And that's, I think, as women, maybe I'm undermining men, but I think we acknowledge our feelings faster than men do anyway. They don't control you, But you can acknowledge them. They're not wrong to have them. Ultimately, no matter what our emotions say, we want the beloved to make the decision for what we're doing, where we're going, how this is happening, both in the wilderness and when we get out of the wilderness, which we're so busy talking about our wilderness, but remember there are times of peace and, you know, you can just lean on the Lord and enjoy one another. So what happens when we lean? I asked Lex this, and he answered with, we don't fall down. And, you know, that's humorous, but it's also true. We don't fall down when we're leaning. We're leaning on the beloved, let's put it that way. If you think about a past difficult time that was maybe smaller than some of our bigger trials, and if you knew then what you know now, how much different would your emotions have been, you know, had you, you know, gone through, you know, so, and that's, you want that. You want to think about that when you're leaning on the Lord in one of the times where the emotions are, again, coming up as strong. Remember the Lord in that. I think I made reference to it yet last night. My dad died a year after Kyle, and I knew right away, I thought, I can't do this. I'm going to lose it. I don't want to be rocked like I was with Kyle's death. And my prayer was, help me, and I can't do this without you. And again, yes, I cried. Yes, I miss him. But there was this underlying straight line of, it's okay. I'm going to see him again.
Amen.
You know, that's, and, you know, whenever it really overwhelmed me, I pictured him actually getting to see Jesus. And it was such a comfort to me. I thought, he doesn't want to come back. He wants to be right where he is. So it helped me. And so I had learned the horrible time with Kyle when I, quote, did it wrong, but I didn't because I was learning. And I knew, I had, of course, that was it helps for us slow learners to repeat things. So here was the second time round of somebody significant in my life that I was losing. Okay, there's a real classic current example of leaning, and it's been when the Lord asked me to share this weekend. I have had to do nothing but lean, because this isn't my comfort zone. This isn't my preference. I feel like everybody else has far more important things to say. And yet I know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord gave me this. So, okay, here I am. I'm leaning. I don't know. I think I've said it, but I want to say it again. We have this rock that we're on, and we cannot be shaken if we recognize that's where we are. That's leaning. That's standing on the rock. That's, you know, there's quite a few expressions that say the same thing. I think the men's retreat, Ed is going to be teaching on abiding in the vine, you know, the rock, the vine and the branch. It's leaning. It's the same thing. You know, that's what the Lord wants, that total dependence on him. We don't live in an island. We're not one little individual going through this. And all I've talked about is us in this experience. We don't live on this island. There are others looking on. There are others that see what you're doing. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." So That was a parade that was coming back. The army had been victorious, and they were marching back, you know, proudly, and the crowd is looking on. We can't lose. You have to grab a hold of that. If we're leaning on the Lord, we cannot lose, because he always leads us in triumph. Again, I don't know what your feelings are going to say about a situation, but it's the Lord leading us in triumph. Yesterday, I said that we go through these experiences so we can learn, so we can grow closer to the Lord, so we can fall in love with him, and those are all true. But ultimately, it's really that others may see Christ. And that's what the Lord wants above everything else. And yes, he'll put you through a trial, and he'll support you, and he'll teach you, and he'll love you, and he'll get you through it. And he wants us to learn, but he wants others to see him working in us. And that's the ultimate goal. Yeah, we are nothing but sheep, nothing but a vessel for others, that more may see him and learn to lean eventually. So that's what I had, little though it is.